I would invite you to turn with me this morning in your Bibles. We'll be reading two passages of Scripture. We're going to be reading 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. And then I would invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Before we read God's holy word, let us pray. Father, almighty gracious Father, with true understanding of your holy word, we ask that you help us to grow in the fullness of the salvation that you so freely offered in Christ. Grant to all of us that our hearts, being freed from the worldly affairs, may hear and grasp your holy word with diligence and faith, that we may rightly understand your gracious will and cherish it and live with it. Live by it in all earnestness. To your prayer and praise and honor, we give this to you, O God, through Christ our Savior. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, the word of the Lord. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our second reading comes to us this morning from Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ whom you are serving. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his holy words. Amen. We have everything we need. That was the theme of last week's service. Last week, we discovered through the passage that God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our Lord and Savior. We've been given great promises, precious promises, that we may participate in the divine nature and escaping the corruption of the world. We spent a lot of week on 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, but we see this week in verse 5, Peter warns us about being passive in this process. He says, for this very reason, make every effort, be diligent. I add to that, to add to your faith. And he goes to list certain qualities that we're going to discover as we work through this passage. Every effort means pursuing God, brothers and sisters. It means pursuing His kingdom at full throttle. We don't get very far in life if we just idle. I suspect if all of you got up this morning and started up your car and sat there and idled, the sanctuary would be empty. It doesn't make any progress towards our destination if we idle through life. When we're idling in life, when we're idling in serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the most important resource that we are wasting is time. Time is unrecoverable. For me personally, I like to be on time. Time can be my worst enemy. I try to cram 70 minutes of work in 60 minutes, and I'm always finding that I'm racing to catch up. But time is unrecoverable. The Apostle Peter, what I love about him, he's a full-throttle kind of guy. His adrenaline never seemed to run out. He encourages his readers to fully be engaged in their pursuit of Christ and the Christ-like life. Peter tells us this in this passage, that we must be serious, zealous, hardworking when it comes to spiritual growth. And in this passage, he uses these words, make every effort. Other versions of scriptures uses the word diligence, and I'm going to go zipping back and forth between those two words this morning. Make every effort. Be diligent. Because what Peter does for us, he describes to us that there's this heart of diligence. He describes that if we're diligent and if we're making every effort, it's that motivation, it's that meaning, and then it goes into the methods. And this morning, I would just like us to spend some time looking at this passage, that we're making every effort, that we are being diligent in our faith. In the related passage of Colossians 3, 23 and 24, the Apostle Paul inspires us to develop personal habits of diligence. He tells us when we're doing things, do it heartily, with all our heart. We're not serving men and women. We're not serving. We are serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. London pastor Charles Spurgeon said as he lay dying, if I have one message to give from my bed of sickness, he says, it would be this. If you do not wish to be full of regrets when you are obliged to lie still, work while you can. You will never regret having done all that lies in you for our blessed Lord and Master. Crowd as much as you can into every day of life and postpone no work till tomorrow. For whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Like us this morning to spend some time understanding that heart of diligence. Peter helps us to understand this attitude that Spurgeon was describing by using the word diligence. He could have simply told us to add these certain qualities to your life and then work on these certain attitudes. But he uses these words, make every effort. Be diligent. That is, we're to make every effort to go at it with all our heart, to be zealous at what we're doing. Let's look at the meaning of diligence. It's a term used in the New Testament authors. It's meant to make every effort, to act with urgency, zeal, and earnestness. That is the Bible's description of this word. The dictionary's interpretation of this word is careful, persistent work or effort. Do you see the difference between what the dictionary tells us and what the passage of Scripture tells us? It's a steady application to business. It's consistent in effort or exertion to accomplish what's undertaken. Assiduous, attentive, industrious, not idle or negligent. Peter is telling us, this is what I'm saying. Do all of these things. Be constant in your effort, exertion to accomplish. Be attentive, be industrious, be not idle. Don't make the mistake that the term diligence or making every effort in what we're doing is a word for, it's kind of like workaholism, because it's not. Diligent people tend to work harder. And of course, Peter isn't talking about this obsessive working. He's exhorting us to be diligent in following Christ, going full throttle at our pursuit in godly life, working harder to be better at what we're doing, to become more like Christ. If you listen to the news and listen to what's going on in the world and listen to the commercials of how they're trying to sell you things, they're telling you, don't live like Christ, live for yourself. Get everything you can, as much as you can, because it's in the end, it's all about you. And Scripture is at the opposite end of the spectrum in saying it's love your neighbor. Help out those who need help. I'm not saying give all your money away and you know, live like a hermit. That's not it. But it's about being zealous in serving and loving. Be more like Christ. We don't arrive at immediate spiritual and moral perfection the moment we receive Christ as Savior. Yes, we know we're forgiven immediately. We're given that promise of eternal life immediately, but we're instantly part of God's family. But growing to maturity, acquiring that divine nature, escaping the corruption of the world, and learning to withstand the pressures of life, because life is full of pressure. It takes time, and it requires diligence. It requires us to make every effort. We have to grow, no matter how old you are. We have to work harder at becoming stronger and stronger in our faith, because lazy believers become lax believers, and their testimony becomes feeble. Notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 6. He says, to be a good soldier endures hardship. A competitive athlete trains rigorously. The hardworking farmer looks forward to the harvest. The book of Proverbs frequently exhorts us to be diligent, to be faithful, to be hardworking, zealous, responsible, and goal-oriented people. If we look at the motivation for diligence, we see that Peter continues to give us this motivation by saying, for this very reason, make every good effort to add to your faith. Notice these words, for this very reason. For what reason, you may say? This is hearkening back to verses 3 and 4 from last week's message. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness through His great and precious promises, leading us towards a life that participates in His divine nature and escapes the corruption of this world by evil desires. This should excite us. This should motivate us. It should ignite our hearts into action. You see, when you understand what Christ has done for you, what He can do for you, what He offers to you, the riches available to you, and the plans and the expectations that He has for you, you have found the single motivation for godly living that the world will ever know. If you were to win the Lotto Max at $50 million, would that excite you? Would that fire you up? Quite often, Joanne and I talk about that. What would you do if you won $50 million? Well, first of all, I guess we'd have to buy a ticket. And if we don't buy a ticket, we don't stand a chance. But wouldn't that fire you up if you had $50 million? What would you do with that? We often watch that silly little commercial on TV where you have your dream coach who inspires you to spend your more money off to bigger and better things. What God has given us is worth a billion times more in this life and in the life to come. And that should fire us up. That should excite us to lead changes in our lives. That should change, just to have those diligent efforts to grow in our inheritance, because that's what it is. God's promises are our inheritance. Notice Peter says it twice in this chapter. Make every effort in verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort, he says in verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling. God has given us everything we need through his very great and precious promises, so we all can live a godly life. So for this very reason, we're to make every effort to use this available resources to do our part, because we have a role to play in this. God has called us. We must diligently acquire the special components of our faith that Peter is about to identify for us, and we must be even more diligent in our making sure that our calling and election is sure. How do you know your calling sure? Years ago, when I sensed the Lord calling me to ministry, I wondered how many changes that would have made in my life. Can you imagine going back to school again at 45? Learning all these technical terms, and seriously, when I sat down in class and they said, your papers need to be this font size, I'm looking over like, what is font? There's a lot of things I didn't have a clue. But through prayer, through study of God's word, I knew this is what he called for me to do. We can find this same theme woven throughout Scripture. It's the message, for example, that Paul employed us to challenge and to motivate the Philippians in an active pursuit of holiness in their lives. He says, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I know a lady who doesn't live too far from us. When I asked her about her faith in Christ, is she following Christ? Is she growing in God's word? Her response to me was, when I was a little girl, I was baptized. I got my ticket stamped into going into heaven. I'm good to go. She bought into a system and not into faith, into outpouring of heart, into growing in Christ, becoming more Christ-like. They're nice people, don't get me wrong. Very nice people. We'll help you out in a heartbeat, wave as they go by, but bought in a system. Peter and Paul are two guys who had it figured out. They got it together. They were given this knowledge by God, that God has given us everything we need, and there is no excuse for us to live our lives to be lazy and passive in the Christian experience. Because we're to take what God has worked in our lives and work it out in our everyday lives. We're to take the promise that God has given us and in every effort apply them. We're to work out our lives of salvation with fear and trembling. Let's look at the method of diligence as we continue to work through this passage. Notice the word add. I've often said that. It's those small words things hinge on. Gives us this method of diligence, making every effort. The word is only printed once in the text of 2 Peter 1. It's assumed 6 more times, though. You're to add to your faith, add to your goodness, add to your knowledge, add to your self-control, add to your perseverance. Continue to add to your godliness, mutual affection. Add to your love. The word add is a translation of epibrio, which comes from the noun choros, which is the leader of the chorus. And if you look at it in the ancient choral groups, the choir master was responsible for everything that his choir needed. All the plays in ancient Greece were large productions, and they were very expensive to produce. Certain wealthy people, they would contribute lavishly. This is the idea behind the word. We're to express the same diligence toward godliness as the ancients exhibited towards the production of their plays. The same diligence of godliness that the Olympic athletes demonstrated as they prepared for the Olympic events is the same diligence by adding every effort possible. And that's what resided in Peter and Paul, as well as the rest of the disciples. Let's look at the undertaking of the habits of diligence briefly here. It's not enough just for us to have this heart of diligence, but we must translate it into our lives, into habits. Peter's emphasis dovetails perfectly what Paul says in Colossians 3:23-24 this morning as we read this passage. Although he didn't use the word diligence or to make every effort, Paul defines it perfectly in this passage. He says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance as you serve the Lord Christ. In other words, our attitude must be that we to live for the Lord. Nothing is to be held back. Nothing. Never look back with regret. Nothing withheld. Fully engaged. He is our purpose for life. This morning I'd like to look at four habits woven into these passages. Look around, whatever you do. Paul began a very broad statement. He says, whatever you do. That covers a vast territory of activity, doesn't it? It means nothing falls out of the instruction of the believer. It's not just about spiritual habits or religious routines. It's about our life at church. It covers everything because diligence in our lives is a lifestyle. If you were to read the entire third chapter of Colossians, and I would invite you to do that today, you would see that in verses 23 and 24, they're set in the context of everyday life. It's at the end of this section that deals with husbands, wives, children, father, and bondservants. Paul makes no distinction between the pleasant and unpleasant. We're to dive into our tasks in life diligently. That includes everything from fixing a leaking faucet, changing diapers, picking stones, shoveling snow, paying bills, resolving conflicts between loved ones, finding a job, and making our marriages stronger. You name it. It's easy for us to dive into tasks in life that we like, tasks that are simple, that don't require a lot from us. But if you dive into the jobs you don't like, into the opportunities of serving, you will get them done. Because the word whatever means whatever. It covers everything and anything, and no matter who we are still followers of Christ. Look within. Do it heartily. Paul says, whatever you do it heartily. In the New Testament, there's three possible heart temperatures. First, we see a cold heart in Matthew 24. He describes the people of the last days of those whose love will wax cold. Then in Revelation chapter 3, we read about those whose hearts are lukewarm. Writing to the church of Laodicea, the Lord describes his disdain with this half-lived life. He says, I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Revelation 15:16. And finally, we read in Luke 24:32, there is that burning heart. It tells of the two disciples who walked and talked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and they describe their experience like this. Did our hearts not burn within us when he talked to us on the road? When he opened the scriptures to us? Three examples of hearts: cold, lukewarm, and a burning hot heart. What kind of heart do we have? I know we go through seasons in life that we have this cold heart. I understand life throws us curves. We have warm hearts. We have times of our burning hot hearts, zealous for serving the Lord. If you're in this cold or warm heart, work towards the burning heart. Are you afraid of being labeled an emotionalist? Or an extremist in a walk with Christ? Yet every other parts of our lives we laud wholeheartedly. An experience happened to me a few years back at a cattle sale. I heard a few men talking. They were kind of being coarse in their language and whatever the case may be, and that was their business. And as I approached, going past them, I overheard them refer to me as that Jesus fellow. Be quiet. I laughed when I heard that. I walked up to him, told him, that's probably the kindest thing you ever could have said to me. You see, we're so enthusiastic about our sports. Yes, the Leafs did win, finally. We're enthusiastic about the newest movie that came out. Life in general. And there's this trend, especially after COVID, just for people just to let church go, let their faith go, and get back to living the life that they feel they've missed. And what they've missed during this lockdown, during these times, is this opportunity to draw so close to God. The opportunity to become so zealous for His Word. And now that we're opening up, they've missed that opportunity to be so full and burning full, this hot heart, to go out and just share. I'm not saying running around knocking on people's doors saying Jesus loves you, but show these little opportunities of love. Fold your hands, bow your head if you're out for lunch somewhere. Let people know that you're Christ follower. Be kind, be generous, leave a tip. I think a lot of people have allowed their lives to become cool or lukewarm, and they're living without enthusiasm. I understand life can throw things at you, and when it does, draw close to God. When life is good, when things are going really well for you, draw even closer to God. Look above us to the Lord. Paul went on to say, whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord and not to men. We must put our best efforts in all we do, because ultimately, we're not working for a human employer to earn money for that human corporation to make profits, or even for ourselves to build success. We are serving Christ in order to please Him. We find that same emphasis in Romans 14, 7 and 8, where you read, for none of us lives to himself, no one dies to himself, for if we live or if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Michelangelo, the artist, was painting in some obscure corner of the Sistine Chapel. And he was asking one of his helpers why he lavished so much attention on the part of the ceiling that no one would ever see. He replied, God will see. Our work isn't done for anyone else, although we have bosses and teachers and others to please. Ultimately, our labors are rendered in Christ. Could you imagine what we looked like to the world if all of us and everybody out there lived and worked in this way? Paul continues and says, look ahead, you'll receive the reward. For whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. That same God who has given us everything for a life of goodness and godliness will reward us for living that way. It's the same reward that Peter mentions as he wraps up his paragraph on 2 Peter 1. Peter commends believers to add one quality after another to their faith so that their entrance will be supplied abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter's not suggesting that we get into heaven by building character in our life. We can't work our way into heaven on our own merit or by our own efforts. But Peter is saying if we diligently add these spiritual qualities into our Christian life, we will be a rich welcome into the kingdom. You see, we have a king. And we're serving with all our heart, and the best for us is yet to come. As believers of Jesus Christ, we're the furthest away from heaven as we are now. And if you're not a believer of Jesus Christ, earth is as close to heaven as you're going to get. We are all working for Christ diligently to advance from glory to glory. We're doing it heartily to the Lord. We lavishly should follow Christ with all that we are and all that we have. No sacrifice that we make should be considered too expensive or requirement too demanding. Peter points out to us in verse 10 that calling and election go together. That same God who elects his people also ordains the means to call them. The two must go together. Paul wrote to Thessalonians in chapter 2, 13 and 14, he says, God has chosen you to salvation, whereto he called you by our gospel. We don't preach election to those who do not know the Lord. We preach the gospel. And it's through the gospel that God calls to repentance and those sinners chosen by God. You see, as we've studied this word this morning, we see that election in Christ is no excuse for spiritual immaturity or lack of effort in our Christian life. Some believers say, well, what will be, will be. Peter has admonished us in this passage to be diligent, to make every effort. While it's true God must work within us, it's also true that we must be willing to have God work to and through, and we must cooperate with him. Jesus asked the lawyer to identify two most important commandments. He says, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Our lives will not always be on mountaintops. There'll be times in our faith life that we're going to feel like we're stumbling, rolling downhill instead of climbing uphill. We all go through seasons of life, and the secret is don't get stuck there. Continue to climb. Continue to do your best. Continue in your struggles. Continue in your joys, but continue to serve. It's the most important thing for us to do in the world. Nothing else that you ever will do in your life will ever come close. We serve our King with all our heart and make sure you're serving the right King. Think of the blessings that a growing Christian enjoys. Fruitfulness, vision, security, heaven's best, yes, all this and heaven too. The Christian life begins with faith. And that faith must lead to spiritual growth. And that growth leads to a practical life giving service. Have a diligent heart. Make every effort. Serve him zealously. And one day we'll stand before the Lord and we'll hear these precious words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to worship only you. And so we ask that you take us deeper into life, into the intimacy with you. Help us to walk in your light and holiness. We want to know you more, Father. Give us joy in your presence. Help us to bring the joy into the lives of others. You have made known to us the path of life. You fill us with joy in your presence, the eternal pleasures of your right hand. We want to dwell in your house, O God, and gaze on your beauty, and we want to seek your faith. So, O God, we ask one thing, that we may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Father, hear our voice when we call. Give us all that we need. Empower us, Father, to serve and to do your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.